हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम् हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमो भगवत्यै गङ्गायै ज्ञानप्रवाहिन्यै शास्त्ररूपिण्यै मात्रे ॐ नमो भगवत्यै गङ्गायै ज्ञानप्रवाहिन्यै शास्त्ररूपिण्यै मात्रे ॐ नमो भगवत्यै गङ्गायै ज्ञानप्रवाहिन्यै शास्त्ररूपिण्यै मात्रे सो लास्ट् क्लास् वि सा दि सिग्निफिकेन्स् आफ् दि होल्नेस् आफ् गङ्गा एण्ड् आल्सो दि वै गङ्गा इस् होली दि वर् फार् अस् ऐ एक्स्प्लेन् दट् लास्ट् क्लास् इट् सेल्फ् And we saw just two verses only last class. So we're going to continue with we're going to just see the meaning. Because all day you know, Ganga represents the eternal flow of Vedic wisdom through the an unbroken lineage of Guru Parampara. That's why this is Shastra, Shastra Ganga. So we bowing to Ganga is bowing to the very Shastra. Bowing to Shastram symbolically implies surrendering oneself to the Shastram. Shastra Sharanagati. And then surrendering oneself to Shastram is not simply surrendering means what? Becoming committed to the study of the Shastram. And with the conviction that Shastram as a Pramanam. Now Shastra Pramanya Buddhi. Now Shraddha. So, with the conviction, Shastram serves as the only means of knowledge, and with the understanding, with the conviction, commitment to the study of the Shastram is Shastra Sharanagati, surrender to Shastram, isn't it? And once you surrender yourself to study of the Shastram, that is what bowing to Ganga. So, what are the consequences? We are going to see here in this verse.
Devi Sureshwari Bhagavati Gange Tribhuvana Tarini Tarala Tarange Shankara Mauli Viharini Vimale Mama Madhirastam Tava Padakamale Bhagirathi Sukhadayini Matastava Jala Mahima Nigame Khyataha Naham Jane Tava Mahima पाहि कृपामयि मामज्ञानम् हरिपदपाद्यतरङ्गिणि गङ्गे हिमविधुमुक्ता धवलतरङ्गे हरिपदपाद्यतरङ्गिणि गङ्गे हिमविधुमुक्ता धवलतरङ्गे दूरीकुरु मम दुष्कृतिभारम् मम दुष्कृतिभारम् कुरु कृपया भवसागरपारम् कृपया भवसागरपारम्
सो हियर् अगेन् प्रेयर् कम्स् सो इन्वोक् भगवान् इन् दि फार्म् आफ् शास्त्रम् शास्त्रम् इन् दि फार्म् आफ् रिवर् गङ्गा सो यु आर् प्रेयिङ्ग् टु द लार्ड् obtaining law, invoking the grace of Bhagavan, in the form of altar is what? Shastram. And the Shastram symbolized by what? Again, another Shastram symbolized by what? River Ganga, Ganga Mata. So he says, therefore, there's a prayer here. What is the prayer? Kuru. Kuru. You know, Kuru means may you do. May you do. When you ask for please do this, you have to always use the word please, isn't it? So Kripa, Kripa, no? If you make it, if you decline it, it becomes the third case is Kripaya. So Kripaya becomes a please. Please do. So, please, you should do what? Kripaya Kuru. He says, Bhava Sagara Param Kripaya Kuru. Bhava Sagaraha. Sagaraha, ocean. Bhavaha means becoming, isn't it? Bhavaha means the life of becoming, the life of transmig, because the bhavaha is in the root bhu. So bhavati means becomes. So bhavaha means, no, literally if you take it as a noun, becoming. No, so birth also is called bhavaha. Janma is also called bhavaha. Becoming is called, again and again becoming. No, it's called life of becoming. So life of transmigration, which is beginningless and endless, isn't it? As long as ajnanam is there, samsara will be there endlessly. Therefore, it's always likened to the endlessness of samsara. Unless and until you resolve the ignorance, there's no way of becoming free from samsara. Choicelessly, you will be going through janma after janma. That is why the endlessness of samsara is caused by the ignorance, is likened to an ocean. Because ocean is so big, isn't it? You can't see exactly which is the edge of the ocean. Ocean is something very big for us. Therefore, the samsara being limitless and endless, that is likened to sagara, ocean. So, bhava sagaraha means the ocean of samsara, life of transmigration implies what? The beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, which is, so what is something big, what you see here? It's ocean, isn't it? That is why you do not know how deep the ocean is. You do not know how vast the ocean is. Therefore, the samsara also, what is the cause for each birth, you don't know. That is why we do not know the depth of the ocean. That is why it's also said here. No, but just by seeing, you can't make out, isn't it? Therefore, always samsara is likened to an ocean. Compared to an ocean. So bhavasagaraha, bhavasagaram, param. Bhavasagara param. Now, paraha means other side of the ocean, isn't it? It's called param. Because I'm sinking, I'm drowning in the ocean of samsara. So help me cross the, reach the, attain the shore of samsara, which is mokshaha. So, bhavasagaraha is equal to samsara. The endless, beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. The life of transmigration is called bhavasagaraha. And then param implies moksha. The shore. Therefore, the seashore. Therefore, Bhava Sagara Param Kripaya Kuru. O Lord, please bless me. Bless me with the knowledge. Help me resolve my ignorance. So when you say, O Devi, hey Gange Mataha, O Devi, please bless me with what? Bless me with the knowledge. Help me resolve the ignorance. Bless me with the capacity to understand the content of the Shastra, subject matter of the Shastra, so that I'll be able to cross the ocean of samsara. Please do me the favor of, help me cross the ocean of samsara. Kripaya bhava sagara param kuru. Just the meaning. Then not only that, next one more word is there. Duri kuru. Duri kuru. If I have to cross the ocean of samsara, duri karoti, the kru dhatu, the karoti as a verb. Karoti means does, makes, performs. All these meanings are there. Karoti. Karoti, kurutaha, kurvanti, it comes. But duri, when you add, duri kuru means remove, keep away. Again, all imperative verbs, duri kuru. Please remove, please keep away, what? Dushkruti bharam. Bharam, the weight, the heaviness of papas. No, dushkruti means wrong actions, results of wrong actions. No, dushkruti means papa karma, wrong actions, the fruits of wrong actions. The papams, no, the sins we have, the big, huge bundle of, no, sparadha, sanchita we have. And now we are already carrying what? One portion of one small bundle, the fraction of sanchitam, which is in the form of prarabdha. This dushkruti. Dushkruti means, sukruti means punyam. Dushkruti means papam. So not only papam, dushkruti here implies what? Both punyam and papam. For Vedanti, punyam also is papam. Papam also is papam. Know why? The result of right action is also papam. The result of wrong action also is papam. Why? Because punyam also will bind you. Papam also will bind you. Isn't it? Which means you have to exhaust the result of good actions. To exhaust the results of... You have punyam, you have to exhaust the result of punyam. Result of punyam by going through pleasures. If you have papam, you have to exhaust the papam by going through suffering and pain. So punyam and papam both are binding only. For a real, if a highly mature person, punyam also is binding, papam also is binding. Isn't it? Therefore, both are equally considered to be dushkruti only. Therefore, dushkruti bharam. So, dushkruti bharam duri kuru. Hey Devi, please remove, keep away, no, what no, the heaviness, the burden of the bundle of punya papas. Dushkruti bharam duri kuru. So, duri kuru means what? Oh, keep away from me, take away from me means what now? See, help me resolve all punya papams. Help me resolve, no, all punya papams. How can Devi help you to remove your punya papams? She can only help you resolve punya papams. How can you resolve punya papams? Only by attaining knowledge. Therefore, indirectly, whatever you ask, you please bless me with the knowledge of thy content, the Shastram. Please bless me with knowledge of the subject matter of the Shastram. So, thereby, I can have the knowledge, I can resolve the Ajnanam. Resolving the ignorance is the only, that is the Moola Papam, isn't it? The original sin is in the form of ignorance only. Help me resolve the original sin obtaining in the form of ignorance. Thereby, all other Punya Papams, you know, I can resolve. So, Duri Kuru Mama Dushkruti Bharam. Implied meaning is what? Please bless me with the knowledge. Now, what is the simple meaning here? Please remove my, help me remove my punya papams. Resolve my punya papams. So that once I resolve my punya papams, then what happens? I'll be free from bondage. I can attain moksha. So, a freedom from bondage of samsara, only when you resolve your punya papas. So that's why first he asked, Duri Kuru Madushkruti Bharam, Kripaya Bhava Sagara Param Kuru. And to request this, you first have to call Devi. So how do you call? The first two words in the verse, the verses are in vocative case. Haripada Padya Tarangini Gange. Hey Gange, O Mother Ganga. And this adjective for Hari Pada Padya Tarangini. You know, see, Tarangini means the Ganga which is flowing with lots of waves. No, called Tarangini. Tarangaha is a wave, and Tarangini is the one with the waves. It's called Tarangini. So, Gange Tarangini, any Samudra is called Tarangini. You know, because, you know, because anything with the waves called Tarangini. But this Ganga, where does it flow? Where is it flowing from? We saw from the previous verse, it comes from, is, you know, it's reveling in on the head of Lord Shiva. But now we say Haripada Padya. Haripada, you know, is flowing from the feet of Lord Hari. So, Haripada Padya Tarangini Gange. So, Padyam, why Pada and Padyam both? Haripada, the foot of feet of the Lord Vishnu, but Padya means the pad with the same water, we give three different names. Padyam, Argyam, Achamaniyam, isn't it? If the water you take in your hand and if you use it for, you know, for cleansing the mouth, it's called Achamaniyam. If you use it for cleansing your hands, it is Argyam. If you are cleansing your feet, is Padyam, isn't it? Therefore, and Haripada Padya, Padyam, here is, you should take this, a water which cleanses everything. Okay, Padyam. Haripada Padya Tarangini Gange. So, that's why the word Padyam there implies the cleansing water. So, purifying water. Therefore, it is sacred divine water. Therefore, hey Gange, now, the one with the waves, whose, you know, the pure water, the purifying sanct, the water flow from the feet of Mahavishnu, Lord Vishnu again. Gange, then. It again, what it implies is, Shastram, originally Shastram, it's a timeless Shastram. Whenever Lord Shiva is come, is brought in, and Lord Vishnu is brought in, you have to understand, Shastram is also timeless Shastram. It enjoys perennial eternity. Shastram has been there timelessly. That's the word, it's perennially eternal. That is, the perennial eternity of the Shastram is always implied by saying it comes from Lord Shiva's head. It comes from Mahavishnu's feet. Means what? It is from Bhagavan. Shastram also originated from Bhagavan, which means Shastram also is manifestation of knowledge, which is Paramatma, Parambrahma. That is the meaning. Got it? Because all Shastra students, that's why I'm just going ahead like that. Then, Hima Vidhu Mukta Dhavala Tarange. So, Taranga, again, like Tarangini, Taranga also means what? Tarangaha yasyam sa taranga or tarangini. The one who is endowed with many waves, big ripples, is called taranga. And then she is, okay, the one with the waves. But how are the waves here? Dhavala taranga. Because there's no, if you go to Rishikesh, you can see that band the up in the hills in Badri and all. If you see that valleys, the Ganga flows with the speed, no? Then you can see lot of the foam, you can see on the things, yeah. So that's the surf like. So that's what he says, Dhavala Taranga, white, they look very white in color. But how white it is? Hima Vidhu Mukta. Three examples are given here. The one with the tarangas, waves, and they are as white as snow, as white as the bright full moon, not ordinary moon, no? Not new moon, full moon. They also like pearls. We have not seen real good pearls, actually. We only see colored artificial pearls. Real pearls we have not seen. So, these real pearls must be very white. Isn't it? Very bright also. Shining white. Therefore, Himavid Mukta Dhavala Tarange. Oh, the one endowed with waves of whiteness, no, which are as white as the snow white, and which are bright, white like bright full moon, and which are also white like good pearls. Himavid Mukta Dhavala Tarange. So the first two words, Tarangini, Gange, Himavid Mukta Dhavala Tarange, these three words are in vocative case. You call the Devi, then you express your prayer. What is the prayer? Mama Dushkriti Bharam, not somebody else's Dushkriti Bharam. Let me think of my moksha first. For Mama Dushkriti Bharam, Duri Kuru, number one prayer. Kripaya Bhava Sagara Param Kuru. Okay, two prayers. Help me resolve all my Punya Papas and help me reach the ocean of, shore of moksha. Help me cross the ocean of samsara. That is the meaning here.
Haripada Padya Tarangini Gange Himavidhu Mukta Dhavala Tarange Duri Kuru Mama Dushkriti Bharam Kuru Krupaya Bhava Sagara Param
Tava. Oh, what should no? Parvala.
Tava jalam amalam yena nipitam paramapadam kalutena grihitam Mater Gange twayo bhaktaha kilatam drashtum nayamashaktaha.
So, now he says, again it's a praising. Now you have to, whenever you want, you make a prayer, you have to praise for some time, okay? And this is all a genuine prayer, genuine praise. It's not flattery, it's a genuine one. So, real praise, glorification. So, yena tava jalam nipitam. Nipitam means drunk. See, the pa is the root. Pa is the root. And the pita is a participle. Okay? So, nipitam means what now? Not drunk properly. That's the meaning. Okay? Nischiyena. So, nipitam. The one by whom the water has been drunk. What does it mean? Go all the way to Ganga and drink some water, come back, you will be free or what? No. Shastra panam, okay? You have to drink shastram. Not shastra. Drinking shastra means what? That's what the problem, isn't it? Nipita means drunk. It's a participle there. Therefore, yena nipitam. What has been drunk? Jalam, water. Whose water? Tava jalam. Not Paramatta jalam, but Ganga jalam. We can see Paramatta also is Ganga. Okay. She is Shastra Ganga. So, whether that Ganga and Paramatta is same water only. There is no difference. Here you mean Shastra Ganga. So, tava jalam, your water, and which water? Amalam jalam. Why? The pure water. Clean water, defect-free water, conflict-free water, contradiction-free water, non-refutable water, shastra, isn't it? That water, that is why subject matter of the shastra. Tava jalam, amalam jalam, your pure, clean, cleansing, purifying, jnanam is the most purifying, isn't it? Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing as purifying as the knowledge. Therefore, tava jalam, tava amalam jalam, your pure water, nipitam yena. It's in passive voice. The one by whom your pure clean water has been drunk, which means the one by whom the subject matter of the shastram has been and drunk in terms of understanding by him. Tena paramapadam kalu grihitam. Parama, by that person, grihitam, what has been attained. Grihitam literally means caught, isn't it? So what has been obtained by him is paramapadam. Paramapada means the absolute end. Paramapadaha means what? Padaha means an end. The padaha where the foot has to stop. We keep walking. This is the final foot where he plays is called padaha, isn't it? So paramapadaha means what? The absolute end, which is moksha. Yena paramapadam padaham grihitam. isn't it? The one by whom the absolute, by him the absolute end moksha becomes obtained, accomplished. Grihitam here becomes accomplished. Therefore, the sentence is in passive voice. We can hear the one who drinks your pure water attains moksha. This is the teaching. The whole teaching has been what now? Isn't passive voice, isn't it? The one by whom your pure water has been drunk, and by him moksha becomes accomplished. That is what is said here. So we can make it simple, active voice sentence. Yaha no tava amalam jalam pitavan tasya muktihi siddhyati. Asaha muktim grinnati, if you use the same word. Prapnoti grinnati. Okay. Therefore, tava amalam jalam yena nipitam tena paramapalam grihitam. What does it mean again? Only if people drink your water, they attain absolute end. Therefore, we have to book the flight to go to Kashi. That is not said here. Have to study the Shastram. Isn't it? Which means, Shastram is the only pramanam. See, there is no way of your attaining knowledge. Look at this. This is a very interesting verse. Huh? There is no way of your attaining moksha without knowledge. Moksha is, or because ignorance is bondage. Therefore, for moksha, for freedom, all that you need is only knowledge. Nothing else you require except knowledge. And for knowledge, you choicelessly need a means of knowledge. So without jnanam, no moksha possible. Without pramanam, no knowledge is possible. And what is the pramanam here? Shastram. Okay, Shastra, what should you do here? How are you going to make you the pramanam, the means of knowledge here? Only in terms of studying, understanding, assimilating, isn't it? Is the only way. Therefore, the tava jalam amalam yena nipitam. Only by the passive voice is used always to make the subject, the message more emphatic. They present passive voice. Only by drinking your water, one accomplishes moksha. You mean only by using Shastram as Shastra Pramanam, one can attain jnanam. Because without the pramanam, knowledge is not possible. Means of knowledge, knowledge is not possible. Without knowledge, moksha is not possible. That is what is implied by this center, that verse, the first line. Is it clear? All nice things, simple things, but very good. So, he mataha, see, matar gange, no? Ganga, in vocative case, how should you call? Gange. Gita, gite. Sita, sita. Ganga, gange, in vocative. So, the mata is a rikaranta stilinga shabdaha, isn't it? Therefore, in vocative, how does it become? Mataha. Mataha. Mataha, because of euphonic combination, visarga has become sakar, sakar become ukar, ukar has become rikar. I don't want to go all this euphonic combination rules now, I don't want to go. No, I just want to say it to you. Mataha gange becomes matar gange. Hey, mother gange, ganga, isn't it? Invocative, in English language, oh mother, mother. Nominative, vocative, the same, isn't it? Like, you know, so here, when Tamil Amma, Amma. But here, Mataha. Mata, nominative. Invocative, Hey Mataha. So, in the Visarga, Matar Gange. Hey Mataha Gange. But Sanskrit is kindergarten Sanskrit here, really speaking. Not big Sanskrit. Hey Mataha Gange. Twayi, Yaha Bhaktaha. Yaha bhaktvayi bhaktaha. The one who has devotion in you. Literal meaning, okay? Unnidathil bhakti shedavan. Bhakti ullevan. What does it mean here? The one who is devoted to you. See, devotion to you here, the word, the one who is devoted to you, yaha bhaktaha, Yaha Twayi Bhaktaha, O Mother Ganga, the one who is devoted to you, no, Tam Drashtum Yamaha Na Shaktaha Kila, no, the tag, Saha Tam Drashtum, okay, Yamaha Na Shaktaha, Lord Yama is not capable of even seeing him. Well, the question of going to him. Isn't it? Drashtum api na shaktaha. Lord Yama is, we know, is not able to even see that person who is devoted to you. Isn't it? The question comes, okay? The tag is what? The tag, you know, kila. Kila means, always when you add the word kila, it implies the tag form, okay? Isn't Lord Yama, you know, not able to see the one who is devoted to you, O Mother Ganga? That's the question. It means he agrees that fact. Yes, definitely, the one who is devoted to you, you know, really can be seen by the Lord Yama. Which means, what does it mean here? I have to understand two things. Who is Lord Yamaha? Okay? The Kalaha, time factor. Time factor implies what? Death. Maranam, isn't it? Who can stop the death? Death, you know, jatasya dhruvaha mrityuhu mrityasya janma dhruvam. We know second chapter Gita, Bhagavan has said already. The one who is born will definitely die. The one who dies will definitely be born also. We'll be very happy about it. We'll come back also. No doubt. We'll definitely come back. We already have come back. Many times before, but we don't remember, that's all. We'll definitely come back. That means, what does he mean by that here? Therefore, here it implies, Yamaha drashtum api na shaktaha. He is not able to see this person, means, where's the question of coming to him? So, Lord Yama will never come to him. In fact, he is so scared of this person. He will not even come to him, means, this person will become free from mortality. That is the meaning. This person will attain moksha. See, attainment of moksha is put in so many ways. So, Lord Yama will be scared of coming to him, means, touching him, means, he will attain immortality. He will ever remain immortal person. How can one remain immortal? One can never become immortal. One is, absolutely, everyone is already immortal, eternal, indestructible, imperishable. You know, all these things we have been studying. Therefore, already one is. Therefore, as long as one remains ignorant of the self, one has identity with the body, mind and complex, then definitely there will be many births and many deaths. One should recognize your real nature, understand the real nature being immortal, not subject to death, then understanding the self being already immortal is attaining immortal. Attaining immortality or becoming immortal. Therefore, here, how can you understand, how can you attain immortality? Only by knowing the self. Only by attaining the knowledge of the self, thereby understanding the self being already immortal is attaining immortality. Therefore, that's what he says. So, Twayi Yaha Bhaktaha. Next word. Yaha Twayi Bhaktaha means one who is devoted to the Shastram. Devoted to the Shastram implies what? Being, in fact, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the real devotee is the one Jigyasu Bhaktaha. Isn't it? Artha Bhaktaha, Arthi Bhaktaha are Bhaktas. That's all. But who is a real devotee? Real devotee is the one who wants to know the truth. Jigyasa Bhaktaha. One who wants to know the truth of oneself, thereby one who wants to know the truth of the totality, total, one who wants truth of the whole, no, he is a Jigyasa Bhaktaha. But Jigyasa Bhaktaha is a real devotee. See, one who wants to know the truth is the one who wants to know the truth of the Lord. The one who wants to know the truth of the Lord is the one who wants to know the truth of the whole. The one who wants to know the truth of the whole is the one who wants to know the truth of one's own self. And one who wants to know the truth of oneself, in fact, is the one who is who can become committed to the study of the Shastram. The one who is committed to the study of the Shastram is the one who is convicted about the Shastram being the Pramanam. Such a person, the one who is committed to the study of the Shastram, with the Pramana Buddhi, accepting Shastram as the Pramanam, and such a person is the one who is devoted to the Shastram, devoted to Mother Ganga. Understand? His devotion to Mother Ganga is equal to commitment to the study of the Shastram, and with her knowing the value of the knowledge of the truth is devotion to the Ganga. Is it clear? That's why the one who has such devotion, yasya yaha jignyasu bhaktaha, one who is devoted to the study of the Shastram, and there, such a person alone can attain jnanam. By attaining the knowledge of the self, he will attain what? He understand the self being immortal, thereby he will attain immortality. If your Lord Yama has nothing to do with that person. This is what is implied even when you see Dakshinamurti, he sits facing the south, and the south stands for Kalaha. North stands for Jnanam, south stands for Kalaha. He sees there, knowledge sees, time disappears. Understand? Because in fact, understanding the self is understanding the timelessness of the self. Understanding the timelessness of self is for understanding the self being already immortal. Understanding the self being already immortal is what? Becoming free from time limitation or becoming free from death. Okay? The muktihi, the jivan muktihi, then also videha muktihi later on. Is it too fast for you? It's okay, no? Okay.
Haripada padya tarangini gange hima vidhu mukta dhavala tarange du
oh mata panta
no Haripada padya tarangini gange hima vidhu mukta dhavala tarange duri kuru mama dushkruti bharam kuru krupaya bhava sagar param tava jalam amalam yena nipitam paramapadam kalutena grihitam mater gange twayo bhakta kilatam drashtum nayama shaktah.
You should have gone there. Okay, change the tune. It's okay. Go to the next one. Yamaha drashtum api na shaktah tam. So how you say, yaha twayi he mataha gange, yaha twayi bhaktaha, tam drashtum api yamaha na shaktaha kila. That's the meaning. You go to the next one.
Patito dharini janavi gange kandit.
No. Oh, next one.
Patito dharini janavi gange khandita girivara mandita bhange bhishma janani he munivara kanye patita nivarini tribhuvana dhanye.
Patita udharini. So all, all the words are in vocative case only. Patita Uddharini. Patita means the one who has fallen. It's called Patita. Patati participle is Patita. Fallen. So Patita means who's fallen? All of us are fallen only. Isn't it? Whoever is born is fallen. Understand? When we are born, it is fall. Isn't it? When Krishna is born, it's not falling. That is getting down, descending. Isn't it? It's like suppose you stand on the stand at the edge of the well. In villages now we do have wells, no? We don't have that walls around the wells. Suppose somebody go and see like this, okay? And suppose suddenly you get pushed into, how it is, it's called a fall. Okay? So there's a, every day the farmer goes down, no, to turn, switch on the motor and comes out, no? He goes, he knows how to get down, he goes down, turn, switch on, and then the pump works, no, to lift the water up, no? Then again he goes down to turn it off and he comes up. That is descending. Avatara is like that. When we are born, pushed. So he knows how to go down. He also knows how to get back. This avatara. When we fall, we don't know how we fall. How we fell also we don't know. Who pushes also we don't know. Whether the wind pushed us or somebody else pushed us, we don't know. We have fallen. Or we don't know. Then we are sinking also. Struggling how to come up also. Not knowing how to get out of it. That's called patanam. Okay, patanam, avataranam. The difference is there. Isn't it? Avataranam is what? Descending carefully. Coming back carefully. Avataranam, isn't it? Whereas patanam is falling. But when we fall into, suppose, uddharini, if we hold on to the Shastra Ganga, somehow, you know, we pay attention to Shastra Ganga, try to understand the teaching, and then you suppose you have satsanga, isn't it? Then you be with the Shastram, hold on to Shastram. How much of you feel bored with the repeated teaching? Still don't leave it. Okay, that's called what now? Really holding on to Shastram, tightly not leaving it. Which means until the subject matter of the Shastram gets into your head and becomes assimilated and becomes one with you. No, the Shastra's vision should become, the Shastra's vision has already become teacher's vision. The teacher's vision should become your vision. Which means all the Shastras become, what now, really squeezed and you drunk by you. It's assimilated in you. The Shastra's vision becomes your vision, means you assimilated the Shastra. Once you assimilated means, then you become uplifted. Uddharini. Patita Uddharini. The only one thing that which can uplift us from the ocean of samsara. Now who we people, the one, all those have fallen into the ocean of samsara. Now this life of those who are, you know, helplessly caught up in this life of transmigration. And for them to get out of this bondage of karma, there is Sanchitam, timelessly Sanchitam is sitting. One pole Sanchitam becomes Prarabdha. While exhausting Prarabdha, again accumulate Agami. Agami again joins Sanchitam. My God, how can you get free yourself from bondage of karma? That is called Patita. Understand now? Helplessly you are caught up, you know, you're caught up by this, bound by karma. It's called bondage of karma. Karma bandaha. Isn't it? So, patita uddharini. Is there any other way how you can uplift yourself from the samsara? Get out of the samsara, bondage of karma? Nothing. Shastram eva sharanam. Okay? Only for you sharanam is what? Shastram. Hold on to Shastram as a pramanam and be with the Shastram, understand Shastram, attain jnanam. Knowledge is the only way you can uplift yourself. Understand? The word pramana means of knowledge. Yeah. So, that's why patita uddharini, the elevator of those who have fallen into the ocean of samsara. You don't want to say ocean also. Those who have fallen into helplessly, choicelessly, unavoidably, inevitably fallen into the life of transmigration. Who can elevate? Who can uplift? Only Shastra Ganga. Serving as a means of knowledge. The Patita Uddharini Janavi. Again, Jannu Kanya is Janavi. Jannu Maharishina, because Janu Rishi, this is a story. So Shastra, this river Ganga is also called Janu Kanya. It's called Janavi. That's why Janavi. Hey Janavi, Gange. Khandita Girivara Mandita Bhange. You know, Khandita Girivara Mandita Bhange. See, one Khandita Girivaraha. Girivaraha means what? The exalt of the mountains is called Girivaraha. Girishu Varaha. Girinam Varaha Girivaraha. Exalt of the mountains in the whole world can have bigger mountains, but we always say Himalayas, okay? For us, Himalayas only. Girivara. Khandita Girivara. Mandita Bhange. Okay. See, the one who is flowing through this Himalayas. Here again I want to tell you one more thing. Even when you read Rudram and all, the word Girishaha, 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 all these words you come across. Giro Shete iti Girishaha. Giri na, no, Girehe Yishaha iti Girishaha. We have two words. The Lord of the mountain, the one who obtains, one who is there in the mountain is also called Girishaha, Girishaha. Two words. What it means is Bhagavan is called Girishaha, Girishaha. What does it mean there? Lord of the mountain or the one who is reclining on the mountain means what? The one who pervades the mountain means what? The meaning is the mountain is always, the Veda is likened to a mountain, Veda Giri. For us, any mountain, you see why we have the temple on the top of the mountain? Because for us, Veda is likened to a mountain. And if you take the, the whole the mountain, if you see, in the bottom portion of the Veda, the part of the mountain stands for Karmakandaha of the Veda. The middle part of the mountain stands for Upasana Kanda of the Veda. And the top portion of the mountain stands for Jnana Kanda of the Veda. So the three Kandas again, the Karma Kanda is for Grihastashrama, stands for Grihastashrama. Upasana Kanda, Vanaprasthashrama. Jnana Kanda, Sannyasashrama. As a Brahmachari, you are free, okay? Then once your Brahmachari finish, your free life finishes, and you start climbing onto the mountain. Understand? And then first, really Grihastashrama. You climb, you become, climbing on the mountain means what now? Really become prepared. You become trimmed and all that. Ready. And again you climb, isn't it? Again you become more prepared. You do your duties and prepared. Then again you go ahead. Then study of the when you, this Grihastashrama prepares to become Antakarna Shuddhi, Antakarna Aishalyam, the qualifications required for Jnanam you get by living a clean Karma Yoga lifestyle, going through living a life Karma Yoga, going through Grihastashrama, isn't it? Performing the karmas enjoined by the Shastram. When you live your Grihastashrama life, you become qualified. Which means, and also you're able to slowly withdraw from activities, you also become more introverted and meditative person, Vanaprasthashrama. Then you become really qualified for like living a life of contemplation, Sannyasashrama. Now, live a life of contemplation, then you reach what? Reach the peak of the mountain. This is Shiroratnam, isn't it? In the Upanishad, it is called Shastra Shiroratnam, in fact. You reach, and on the top of the hill only we have the temples. Then you go there, and then you understand what? You see, you don't search for the truth. You understand the truth. Being available for recognition as your own self, as very you, where in your own mind. So that Garbhagriham stands for what? Sanctum stands for your own mind. And if the external outer prakaram stands for the physical body. You go there, and then the physical body stands for all cognitive. Nothing, not physically, you're not doing anything. Once you reach the top of the mountain, it's all cognitive. You understand the external, that's why the temple, the outer prakaram symbolizes your physical body. Then you go, isn't it? Then it's a huge temple, means you have too many things. 63 people stand in attention and then you go around and all that. Then finally you go to Sanctum Sanctorum. And that is what? Sanctum Sanctorum is mind, stands for mind. And the Sanctum Sanctorum must be dark in color. Dark. Why? There should not be any light. Nothing you can see. And then South Indian murtis also granite murtis, not marble murtis. So in darkness, if you see something black, how will it be? Can you see? I cannot see anything. You should not be able to see anything. That is called Garbhagraham. So that pitch darkness inside the Garbhagraham and with the black granite murtis symbolizes Ajnanam you all have in your mind. What Ajnanam? We know we are, but we do not know what we are. We know the world is, but we do not know what exactly this world is. We know Bhagavan is. We do not know who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is, we do not know. Isn't it? Our half ignorance of, I am, but I do not know what I am. I know the world is, but do not know what this world is. I know Bhagavan definitely Bhagavan is, because when you see everything, I really think Bhagavan definitely is. There is a creator, I believe. But I do not know who God is, who Bhagavan is. Isn't it? This half ignorance, you know, is symbolized by the darkness in the Garbhagraham. And there is one lamp. Only one lamp should be there inside. In traditional, in proper temples, only one lamp should be there. It should be too bright. It's a proper temple means only one light. And that one light will have one wick, isn't it? That wick will be glowing. That light emerging from that one wick of that one lamp symbolizes our little knowledge, half knowledge. I am. That half knowledge is symbolized by that fire. Bhagavan is. That half knowledge, no? That light stands for half knowledge that Bhagavan is. The universe is. I am. I am, universe is, Bhagavan is. This half knowledge we have. We don't need to do anything else to have that knowledge. All naturally, Bhagavan has blessed us with the half knowledge. That wick in the temple, that small flame of that, you know, that lamp symbolizes our half knowledge. And the whole darkness symbolizes our half ignorance. Ardha Jnanam, isn't it? Ardha Jnana Pratipadakaha. You know, we say, the Pratipadika Jwala, then Ardha Ajnana Pratipadakam Tamaha, Andhakaraha. The darkness symbolizes, isn't it? Half. Then there's a priest. The priest stands for Guru. The priest in the temple stands for Guru. So in the little light, when you really go and see in temples like Madurai, Meenakshi temple and all, now you can say, you can somehow make out that some murtis are there. Isn't it? Some murtis are there, you can make out. You can see the murtis are there, you can make out. But how exactly the murtis look, how the nose is, how the eyes are, how the, you know, nothing you can. Meenakshi, you can, at least one glittering diamond will show. Little bit, isn't it? But nothing else you can see there. Therefore, and then you need more light. With that light, you can understand the murtis are inside. Because darkness and granite, no? Not marbles. So dark. Then you need more light for that. More light is what? In a camphor. So camphor stands for the Shastram. Camphor stands for Shastram. And then the camphor, the guru, the priest alone, what now? Shastra Pramanam. Shastram has to be unfolded by the guru. And he lights the camphor. Then what he'll do? He'll show you from the padam. He'll say also in Tamil, okay? I don't even know Tamil, that's what I'm saying. I don't know Hindi, how in the Hindi. Nothing that they'll say, I don't know. Now they'll say then, please see from padam to Kesham. Isn't it? Again, Kesham to padam. If you go from Australia, they'll show you very well also. Okay? And then they'll show from here. Then they'll say, And in the light, that flame coming from the camphor is what? Akhanda, akhandakara vritti jnanam. Aham brahmasmi jnanam. Okay. Then he shows, then you see what now? That murti stands for you. So the outer prakaram stands for the body's body. Garbhagram stands for your mind. And camphor stands for shastram. When the acharyaha, in the shastram of karpura, now the camphor, he lights it. Then the unfoldment of the shastram results in what? In the vision of the truth being yourself. Akhandakara vritti jnanam. I self am the limitless reality, Brahma. Isn't it? You understand? And that you, that I, isn't it? The murti stands for you, I. The substance of the substantive I, Paramatma. Then you see, in that light you see, then you see what now? Natatra suryo bhatina chandra taharakam nema vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. Isn't it? Then you have the darshanam. You what now? Brahmatma darshanam. You see param brahma as yourself. Finished. After darshanam, what else you want? Moksha, isn't it? You come back. Come back means what? You attain moksha. That is why Bhagavad Sakshatkara, Bhagavad Darshanam means what? Bhagavad Darshanam means moksha. Atma Darshanam eva Bhagavad Darshanam. Bhagavad Darshanam eva Moksha Darshanam. Moksha Darshanam eva Moksha Praptihi. Samskritam sounds like Tamil, isn't it? Simple. English, isn't it? So, simple. You attain it, finished. That's why Girihi. Understand? So, Giri stands for, it's temporal extra, we made it, but actually Veda Giri. And then, the whole Veda is likened to the Giri, mountain. And the subject, Bhagavan is the subject matter of the Shastram. Bhagavan is said to be what now? Reclining the Shastra, Vedagiri, Shastragiri. That is why Girishaha. And here also, that Himalayan, no? our mountains, Girivaraha, Himalayan mountain, is Shastram, isn't it? And from that Shastragiri, no? The Veda, the wisdom keeps flowing, Vedic wisdom keeps flowing. That is why it is said what now? Hey, Mother Ganga, you keep flowing from, beautifully you keep flowing from the Vedashgiri, Himalaya. Is it clear now? It keeps flowing. Which means why it is beautiful? Because Shastram is the only thing which tells everyone you are beautiful, you are full, you are Purnaha, whoever goes, you are so beautiful. The only thing, you know, who can tell every one of us that we are beautiful is Shastram. Isn't it? That is why Shastra flows as a what now? Very beautiful. Wherever we go, people will find fault with this, no? How difficult, what are all the defects, what are all the deficiencies? Doctor tells what are the deficiencies. You know, the blood report tells lots of problems, and the doctor tells some problems, and people find fault with their problems. How we are not good. What all things I have to improve, you ask somebody else. They'll give a biggest list of, you are not this, you are not this, you are not this, you are not this. They'll say, give you all these things. You know, you should have done this, you should have done this. You could have put a little salt in the food and all, lots of things they will talk about. But only one thing which always talks, you know, the most pleasing thing about us is Shastram. Because Tvam Purnaha, Tattvam Asi. Isn't it? Who else is telling? But that Shastram, and the Ganga, representing that Shastram, is beautifully the Vedic wisdom, the eternally flowing Vedic wisdom. Coming from where? The Shastra, the Himagiri, Vedagiri. So Vedam is the source of knowledge, and the knowledge flowing from the Veda Shastram is what? Ganga. The source of knowledge is Vedagiri, and the flowing wisdom is Ganga. Then saying all these things, that's why he said, Kandita Girivara Mandita Bhange. Then Bhishma Janani, O mother of Bhishma. Hey Munivara Kanye. The story part I'm leaving, okay? Shastra part I'm telling you. You can go and read legends and find out. Bhishma Janani, Munivara Kanye. Again, Jannu Kanya. Munivara Kanye. Then Patita Nivarini. Patita Uddharini. Patita Nivarini. So, okay, Uddharini, the one who uplifts those who have, you know, fallen into the life of transmigration, samsara. Patita Nivarini. And those who relieves, the reliever of those, so uplifter or reliever. Nivarani means the reliever. She who releases those who have fallen into the samsara. Patita Nivarini. See, samsara is not mentioned. It's understood. Okay? Nivarini. Then, Tribhuvana Dhanye. Tribhuvana Dhanya. In vocative, Tribhuvana Dhanye. Tribhuvana Dhanya means what? Dhanya means one who is adored, one who is revered. Where knowledge is the most revered in all the three worlds. Therefore, Shastram is the most revered in all the three worlds. Because only Pramanam for Jnanam. In all the three worlds, what is most revered is Jnanam. Why? Knowledge alone can bless you with the greatest of the accomplishments, highest of the exalted of all the purusharthas is moksha. And to accomplish the exalted purushartha, only jnanam is required. Therefore, knowledge is the most revered. And knowledge is the most exalted and most revered. Therefore, the shastram is the means of knowledge is what? Most revered. In all the three worlds. You know, there's nothing more superior, greater than Shastram. Because Shastram alone can give you knowledge. Knowledge alone can bless you with the greatest of the luxuries. There's no greater luxury than reveling in knowledge. That is why Tribhuvana Dhanya. Invocative Tribhuvana Dhanye. I'll sing some other day, Sudha. Sumani, I just read it. Kalpalatamiva phaladam loke pranamatiyas dvam napatati shoke paravara viharini gange vimukhayuvati krita taralapange tava chen mata shrotas nata punarapi jatare sopina jatah naraka nivarini janavi gange kalusha vinashini mahimotunge. Okay, then kalpalata. No, we talk about, we all know kamadhenuhu. Kalpaka Vrikshaha. Kalpalata also is there. Understand? So, the Kalpalata, Kalpaka Vrikshaha, you know, and also the Kamadhenuhu. All these three are said to be celestials. It's all mythology. In Indian mythology, we have wish-fulfilling tree, wish-fulfilling cow, wish-fulfilling creeper. Isn't it? We have not... In Australia, not anywhere in the world, only in the Loka, Deva Loka, it is there. That is, we had to go to that Loka, we had to sit under the tree, or somewhere sit near the, suppose we imagine Kalpalata means, if we ask Idlis, and then it will come. No, I don't, and then the opening that is served, I want anything, pizza, fresh, vegetarian, pure vegetarian pizza. It will come like in front of you. Everything will come in front of you. That's called wish fulfilling. Don't need to ask. Think it will in front of you. That's why it's called wish fulfilling things. So here he says, this really speaking, it is jnanam. Kamadhyayana also symbolizes knowledge only. What is that? By accomplishing which, everything else becomes accomplished as it were. What is that? Knowledge. See, if you attain jnanam, and all you will revel in fullness. If you're reveling in fullness means, you are free from inadequacy. The inadequacy is not there, needs will not be there, this is all will resolve, isn't it? Everything is, fullness is there means, then how can there be disease? See, fullness and disease cannot coexist. Isn't it? Inadequacy and disease can coexist. They are paraspara, not aviruddha. They are not opposed to each other. Fullness and disease are opposed to each other. Whereas inadequacy and disease are friendly. They can exist together, coexist. Where in jnanam there is fullness. When there is fullness, there cannot be disease. This way, this is what is said to be. If attain jnanam, all the desires are as fulfilled as it were. All the desires become, without even fulfilling the desires also, all the desires become fulfilled as it were. How? The desires will not be there. Not having got disease resolved is what? Not having the disease. Not having disease is what? As good as having fulfilled all the disease, isn't it? That is why knowledge is said to be what? No. Understand? That's why he says, that's why one who is the one who can bless you with the knowledge gaining which all the disease becomes fulfilled. Sarva, in Taittiriya it comes, Remember that word. Brahma vida apno ti param tadesha bhyukta satyam jnanam anantam brahma yo vedanihi tanguhayam. Yo vedanihi tanguhayam parame vyoman so oshno te sarvan kamaan saha. Saha sarvan kaman ashnute. What does it mean? The wise person, one who recognizes Paramatma in his own mind as his own self, that person becomes the enjoyer of awful, becomes, enjoyer of all his wishes, which means all his desires become fulfilled. How is it? What does it mean? The meaning is, in the wake of knowledge of the self being Paramatma, you revel in fullness. Reveling in fullness means what? Having all your desires resolved. And having all your desires resolved implies what? Not having, being free from the hold of desires. Being free from the hold of desires implies what? Is as good as having fulfilled all your desires. Therefore, the Shastra Ganga, when you bow to her, she will bless you with the knowledge. Thereby, being blessed with the knowledge itself is what? Having fulfilled all one's desires. Therefore, she said here, Kalpalatam iva paladam loke pranamati yastvam napatati shoke. So, he says, Yaha Tvam Pranamati. Yaha Tvam Pranamati. One who bows to you. Okay, Pranamati. Namati itself means bows, isn't it? Pranamati means what? One who bows to you properly, totally. The total commitment. Totally one surrenders to you. Pranamati. And whom? The Tvam, the adjective for Tvam. The one who bows to you, the one who, the bestower of fruits. Palada. Palada means what? The bestower of the fruit. phalam dadati iti phalada. So the bestower of the fruit. Okay, this Shastra Ganga gives the fruit. What fruit here? Like what? Kalpalatam eva. The Shastra Ganga is like the Kalpalata, the celestial plant, which the fulfilling, wish fulfilling plant, who is like the celestial wish fulfilling plant, who is the bestower of the fruit of knowledge. So therefore, the one who bows to you, such a person, shoke na patati. He will not fall into samsara fraught with sorrow. Shoke na patati. Again, he will not be given to any grief anymore, sorrow anymore. He will not fall into samsara, fraught with fear, fraught with delusion, fraught with grief. Saha shoke na patati. He won't become unhappy again. The one who bows to you will not become unhappy at all. So once you are, that's why pranamati means, once you are committed to the study of the Shastram, and once you are studying the Shastram properly, then you are with the teaching means, every day there must be enhancing of clarity. The more and more you are with the Shastram, the more and more your clarity will be enhancing. The more the clarity enhances, the more joy you discover. The more joy you discover, less and less will be your grief. Understand? Once in the wake of the knowledge, the grief will be resolved for good. That's what shoke na patati. That's why nothing will happen overnight. Okay. Kalpalatam iva. See, kalpalatam iva. Phaladam tvam yaha loke pranamati saha shoke na patati. Okay? He will not fall into, again, he will not fall into ocean of samsara. He will become free from samsara. Once a person is surrendered to Shastram, the person who surrendered to Shastram, he will not, once he'll come out of samsara, again, he will not go back to samsara. Again, doubt might come. Okay, I attend jnanam, this janma, attend moksha. So again, people have some doubts also, people come. Will there be any possibility of again losing my moksha? No. Anything you attain, you will lose. Definitely you will. Other than moksha, everything else you attain in this world, you will lose. Make sure. Nothing you can protect. Nothing you can safeguard here. Whatever you attain, you will lose. Even if you don't lose, you will see, Bhagavan will see that nothing is with us. Isn't it? We lose. Everything we lose. Only one thing you will not lose is moksha. Why you don't even attain it? That is why you don't lose it. It is already you. Moksha is already your own swarupam, your own nature. That is why you don't lose yourself, you see. You don't need to attain you, because you are already you. You don't need to, one thing you don't attain is yourself. And then one thing you don't attain is your swarupam moksha. That's why you only discover it and you take ownership of it, keep it for ever eternally. That's why moksha is eternal. Why do we say? It has no beginning. Moksha is already there. That is why if we want something to keep forever, it's only one thing, is moksha, which is your own nature, freed, limitlessness, happiness, fullness, absolute peace, your swarupam. Which you don't need to, one thing you need not work for at all is this moksha. You need to just know that. know that and take ownership of it. You will never lose it. Yes, that's why na patati shoke. You will not again go back to samsara. Who na patati shoke? Yaha tvam pranamati. And who are you? Kalpalatam. Kalpalata iva paladam. You are palada. Isn't it? You are the bestower of the fruit of knowledge. Now, which is like the wish-fulfilling plant, the heavenly plant, celestial plant. Okay. Paravara viharini gange. Paravara viharini gange. And how Ganga has been flowing downwards, you know. Means even though Ganga is flowing from somewhere, from not, we don't even know where it originates. No, Gangotri is only a place where we see. Even before the Ganga, we don't know exactly the Nadi Moolam, Rishi Moolam, we never ask. That's the reason that we say, never ask for two things, origin of rishis and also rivers. You can never trace. Non-traceable. Why non-traceable? Eternal. If a beginning point is there, you can trace, isn't it? The eternal means what? Beginningless. Timeless. That's why here also we say, and that Ganga has been flowing downwards, which means even though it's flowing from far off place, from the non-traceable origin, it has been flowing downwards and coming flows down and comes down. It's available for us wherever we are, isn't it? But still, that is why it says what now? And how it is through the unbroken lineage of Sampradaya. And the sampradayaka sikshakaha, teachers, has been flowing downwards. That is why now it is nice, isn't it? What is implied meaning of this sentence? Paravara viharini gange. So the one who has been flowing, viharini means what now? Playing around, one who has been flowing. Gange vimukha yuvati krita tarala pange. The wisdom keeps flowing towards, now flowing, and then what now? Again, it says vimukha yuvati krita tarala apange. So vimukha yuvati means a young woman. Okay, any young woman is called yuvatihi. And then vimukha yuvati krita. So vimukha yuvati means the one who is now away from, now separated from her husband, her the partner. No, you say vimukha yuvati, and vimukha yuvati krita tarala pange. So here the flow of Ganga, you know, the speed with which it flows, isn't it? And it reaches the ocean. So the flow, nothing can stop the flow of the speed of Ganga. Nothing can stop, isn't it? It keeps flowing unless you really make something. And like that the one whose flow, the unobstructed flow, is likened to the anxiety of a young woman, you know, in meeting her husband. That's the meaning. Okay? Vimukha yuvati krita tarala pange. So the rest we'll see next class. Yeah. So the next was also simple. All was a very simple verse only. So now he says, if a person has dip in you or gets wet in you, srotaha, snataha, punaha hacha person jatare na jataha, again he will not be born. What does it mean? If you go and have dip in Ganga, you will not be born again, or what? Dip means shravana dip, mananam dip, nidhyasanam dip. Okay? If you have three dips, then you have jnanam, then you will not have What now? Jivan Mukti, then Videha Mukti, then you punaha api na na jataha. Jatare na jataha. Therefore Naraka Nivarini. So for a wise person, for a viveki, for a discriminate person, even Surgamas and Arakam only. Why? It is a time bound. Anything time bound is what? Not moksha, isn't it? Therefore, Naraka Nivarani, one who frees one from all the time bound ends in the form of Narakam, Surgam, or etc. Naraka Nivarani, Janavi, O Janavi, Gange, Kalusha Vinashini. Kalusha means one who destroys, the one who removes all your impurities and blemishes through blessing you with the knowledge. One who removes all our impurities, blessing us with knowledge, is called Kalusha Vinashini, Mahimottunge, and one who is of the zenith of glory. That's why Mahimottunge.
Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Sarve Santu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet Om Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityor Ma Amritangamaya Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om.